Hello, we are back at the Coliseum, the fortress, that is Tommy Field in Kennington, for another episode of Always Be Comedy, the audience podcast. It's not a catchy title, but we're sticking with it. And each week we chat with a different audience member. It's been regulars up till now, and tonight is no exception. So we are with one of our favourite regulars, Andy Tulip. Andy, thank you so much for coming on.
Hi there, yeah.
Well, you've got a great radio voice already, Andy.
Oh, okay, I'll try.
is Andy Tulip your real name?
Absolutely, yeah. It's a Geordie. It originates from Newcastle, so...
I'm just going to turn this off. Are you from Newcastle originally?
Yeah, it's really common up there, but there's nobody down south called Tulip, so...
How come Tulip's a name up there, then?
Oh, no idea. There's hundreds and thousands of them.
Honestly?
Yeah.
So were you born in Newcastle or born down?
No, Southampton born and bred.
So please explain. So I know you're a Southampton fan.
All right.
How have you gone from Southampton to Always Be Comedy?
Right, okay. Well, it's been a little bit of a journey, but I've always worked in IT, in the city, really.
Yep.
But I worked for a French bank who had an IT development office down in Southampton. For historical reasons, there was a software company back in '88 who started developing a system.
Yes.
We sort of stayed down there, commuting up to London as and when we needed. But then 6 years ago, they decided enough was enough, and they decided to close the office in Southampton and move us up to London. So there was five of us, and I was one who decided, I'm going to actually move. So I moved into Clapham for a while, and then got a place in Wimbledon. So it was happy days. Other guys are still commuting from Southampton, which is a nightmare.
Where are you now then? Where do you live?
I now live in Wimbledon, still live in Southampton as well. I go back to Southampton for weekends because that's where all my friends are.
And you go see Southampton play?
Absolutely. I'm a season ticket holder there. So
legend, halcyon days.
Yeah.
What was your first Always Be Comedy show? How did you...
To remember. It must be about 3 years ago. I'm not one of your originals, but I used to go to a regular club in Tooting, which sort of closed down, and I started looking around and spotted this. And
which one was that? Rhubarb.
We used to go to Rhubarb.
Because I think the guy who ran Rhubarb had a night here, you know.
Oh, okay, he used to do Edinburgh and... I can't remember his name, it's terrible. He used to play piano and do joke songs and things like that, and he was a good guy, he was good.
I think the promoter had a night here called Jam Granny.
Right.
But I'm going back.
Yeah.
I'm going back donkey's years.
So it was very similar to here, but, you know, but now I love Always Be Comedy. Fantastic.
Do you remember, how did you hear of the night? Was it a specific actor who brought you here?
No, I mean, it was just trawling the internet. I mean, that's the secret. When you're in London, you need to go through get on the right mailing lists. There was probably a comedian I was on the list for who must have played here, and that sort of hooked me in, I guess. And I cannot remember my first... show here. I meant to look it up before I came out because I still got all my emails and tickets.
Oh, you legend.
I should have done that.
I know Pasco and Catherine Ryan, they've both been responsible for giving us some of our
absolutely
hardcore
yeah.
regulars.
Yes.
And we're very grateful to them. So what drew you in? Because you thank God, and please, Andy, don't have a change. You come back and we're very grateful for
you. Yeah, no, I'll say, I mean, it's my favourite thing to do. I mean, I'm sort of up here in London on my own, more or less, and... you know, and so it's fantastic to come out. I mean, I obviously get to know the guys here. I know you now, and it's worked really well. And obviously to see these guys for a fraction of the price you'd pay at the O2, you know, there's big names. Even the lesser-known comedians are fantastic. And it's I do it once a week, comedy once a week. That's my thing. And quite often it's twice a week I will go to a comedy show.
It's amazing. Now, you always sit on the front row.
Yes.
More or less.
Yes.
For whatever reason, I think you've got quite lucky.
I've had an easier ride.
Yeah, you've had an easier ride. Because some people, it does feel like they're up every single week. Like there's a lad called Darren Brown who used to come to every single show and would get called up on stage by various comedians. You seem to have got...
Well, I figured out early on that comedians will tend to pick on people in the second row quite often.
Yeah.
So, and sitting in the front row, it feels like, you know, you're on there, they're in your own living room, and it's a show for you.
I asked this question a fair bit. Did you ever have designs on being a comedian yourself?
Well, that is one thing I would love to be able to do. I mean, I've always taken... this is going to sound stupid, but sort of three categories of people that I wish things I could do.
I'm writing these down.
Right. I wish I could dance. I am a dad dancer, and I'm always impressed by people who can dance well.
Right, that's one.
That's
dancer.
Cool, yeah. Second one is...
Hang on. Is this false modesty? Are you like a secret Wayne
Smith? No, I'm absolutely appalling. I've lost all fear of doing it now, so I'll stand up and dance and look like a twat. I don't care.
Why don't you go to like a salsa class or something?
Well, that is an option, I guess. That is an option. You need a sense of rhythm, though. Hell,
are you saying you have no rhythm?
I suspect I don't, no.
So, right, when we've done the silly games with the audience,
yeah.
Have you never been pulled up for one of those?
No, I haven't.
You're joking!
No, that's right.
Fuck!
Yeah, that's right, yeah, that's...
Well, we've got to put that right.
You've had a few dance-offs, haven't you? But no, don't do that.
Would you not want to do it? Hang on a minute. If you want to embrace the fear,
yeah, I would.
What better way than a dance-off?
Yeah, well, I would give it a go.
Would you give it a go?
Shit.
Well, you've planted the seed now for
tonight's
show.
I can see what's happening tonight. Damn.
Stu's lining up Disco Inferno as we speak. Okay, so dancing is one. What's the other?
The next one is to be able to sing and play guitar. Just... I'm impressed by people who can stand up in a pub, play a guitar, and impress people with it. You know, that is absolutely a God-given skill. And then the final one is Yeah?
Can you sing?
I can't. No, I don't think so, no. I don't
what
think
if there's
like
all this hidden potential?
Well, that's right, I should be trying it, shouldn't I?
Oh, mate!
I'm not singing tonight, mate.
If one of the acts doesn't turn up, you're doing 10 minutes
I'll
of solid variety.
Spot, yeah.
Okay, so singing and have you had guitar lessons?
No, I can't play guitar. I played recorder badly when I was about 10 years old, and that put me off straight away. And
scarred by the recorder.
That's right, yeah, I know.
How many musicians have we lost?
Yeah, yeah.
So if you don't mind me asking, how old are you? Late 20s?
just a little bit, yeah. No, I'm 54 now.
Get lost.
Yeah, 54.
There's not fucking
say it again, face. Say it again.
You're not 54. Right, well, yeah, hang on a minute. Okay. Before we crack on with being a comedian, what's the secret to not looking 54? You must do something that we don't.
No, there must be something. It was my parents, and I thank my parents for that. They must have, they lived
to
a good old age.
You use moisturiser?
No, I don't, no. It's the grey hair makes me look... People think I'm older than I am, but...
No, but you have a young face though, don't you?
That's right. It works, on occasions.
People listening, he looks like a cross between Philip Schofield and...
No, everybody thinks that.
And George Clooney.
Yeah, I like that one better. Yeah. That's better, yeah.
Take them both. You've got the smile of Schof, the burning charisma of Clooney. Yeah. And the final one is to be a comedian. Though.
Well, that's it, yeah. I mean, I have this thing, every time I come to comedy, my mate Dave at work, he says, right, remember a joke. And like how I cannot remember anything that happened half an hour later or 5 minutes later. I have this theory that laughing too much, it affects your head and it must shake the jokes out of your brain. That's my theory.
Well, the funny thing is, I think there may be something in that because I'm not saying that you shake the jokes out of your brain. How often have you been to an amazing comedy night? And I'll do it. My poor wife, I will attempt comedians' bits the next morning. Yeah. And I forget almost everything.
Yeah, well, I occasionally remember them and I tell them and it's flat and it's...
Oh, that happens to me all the time.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
I like word for
word. I say, you had to be there. That's my point.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll go, such and such did this amazing bit and I'll perform this bit. And she'll be like, this dead blank expression as if to say, that sounds awful.
Yeah, yeah. I greatly admire people, like yourself, who can entertain a crowd, and people who can stand up with a fixed routine, but they'll improvise. And some of the best comedians are those that can improvise, and they get abuse from the crowd, and they adapt very well.
Who are your favourites?
Well, in that respect, Andrew Maxwell was here a few months back, and
masterclass,
absolute unbelievable. I don't think he did anything from his plan. It seemed like he just played off the audience the whole time.
And I say this with nothing but absolute love for Andrew Maxwell. He could have gone on all night, couldn't he?
Yeah, absolutely.
He's that talented.
That was
right. He could have gone on to the early hours.
Incredible.
He nearly did.
Yeah.
It's one of the best sets we've ever had here, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, good shout.
My absolute favourite is Harry Hill. I can see him every week. I mean, I've seen him at least six times this year. He's been here regularly,
and the guy's the king.
He does a very similar routine each time, but I'm in tears every time. It's absolutely fantastic.
He's the man, isn't he?
He is absolutely fantastic,
and one of the nicest. Do I tell this story? I'll tell this story. It's a nice story about Harry Hill. Because it's what I'll do is I'll often say that someone's very nice or someone's lovely or someone's amazing, but you need an anecdote to back it up. So Harry has consistently been a really lovely man, and this is about you and not me, so there's a strong chance we'll take this out, but
yeah.
I think you know this story. So there was a preview last year, it was sold out, and we'd sold off the back of a certain name.
Right.
This changed how we do tickets, this incident. So now we don't name people in the ticket link. We name them in the text. It's not really interesting. If you run a night, it's a lovely tip. And this person pulled out of their preview the morning of the gig. What they didn't know was that my wife's waters had broken. Now, Harry Hill was just down as an unlisted guest doing a short set. And I knew that Harry was on, but no one else knew. And as my wife's waters broke, I looked at the puddle beneath her, and I just thought, well, I'm missing Harry Hill tonight. And so I got a text in the morning of the gig with this other person saying that they couldn't do the gig, and it was the morning of a tube strike, and therefore we would have to, because this person was named, we would have to offer a refund, and because of the tube strike we would have lost, I imagine, pretty much every single person. Well, that's not much of an exaggeration, you know. So I dropped Harry an email, told him the full story. And he emailed, and I said, can you do a full show, and can we tell the ticket holders that it's you? He said, he was like, absolutely, yeah, of course, you know, yep, I'll do that. And I wasn't there. Were you there?
I saw that one, yes.
So everyone tells the same story. I missed out on this lovely moment, because Harry came on stage, broke character for the first time in his career, and said, I got an email today telling me that insert name, I won't say who it was, but insert name of act, pulled out, and I thought, we can't have that. The show must go on, and cheers and applause broke out, and Harry did his full show. It's a lot of love, and there's a lot of love in this room for Harry. He's awesome. So right, Andrew Maxwell, Harry, with you so far, absolutely. Yep. Not that I'm going to disagree, but who else would you say?
I mean, couples who, are really, really interesting. I like jokes about, relationships and kids and people's kids, which, you know, it's stuff that you can relate to, you find really funny. Ramesh Ranganathan.
Oh, my God.
He always puts on a good show.
Yeah.
Sean Walsh hasn't been for a little while, but he's done at least one this year, hasn't he, here? Josh Widdicombe.
Oh, mate.
Yeah.
These
are all big names, and, you know, you're sitting here paid damn all, and you're like,
I know we're biased, but I think this is such a golden age of live stand-up. And all those people that you say, and I think we're so lucky, aren't we, that we're, you know, we have this night at a time where all these guys are, by guys, I mean that as a collective, I mean men and women when I say guys. I totally agree with you. Any more?
Well, you had Mickey Flanagan here, didn't you? That was an unbelievable. I wasn't expecting him, and turned up. I thought, Jesus, you know, I'd seen him a couple months before, and it was his first night back, basically, wasn't it? After a long break, absolutely fantastic. John Bishop did quite a few shows here. I saw a couple of those. Brilliant.
It's great, isn't it?
It's good. Lucky. It's fantastic. Yeah, that's right.
So, what are your other passions outside of comedy?
Ooh, well, that's football. I'm a Southampton football supporter, season ticket holder.
How long have you been going to see them?
Oh, God. Well, since before 1976, when they won the FA Cup.
Seriously? So,
yeah.
Were you there for the final?
No. Well, I was a real chicken. My mate, I would have been about 12, 13, 14, that sort of age. My mate skived off school to queue up to get a ticket, and I didn't. How gutted was I?
Well, to be fair, I'm the same as you there, because I'm from a family where my mum would... I love her very much, but you don't do things like
that. No, that's right.
That's bad behaviour. I was a real straight arrow, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm with you there. I would never have skived to get a ticket. So who's the guy who scored the goal? Because he's passed away, hasn't
Bobby
he?
Stokes, yeah.
Bobby Stokes.
Right. Yeah, he was effectively, I think he was more or less killed by the fact that he scored the goal, because everybody bought him drinks, and it was a drink, I think, that did his liver... more or less killed him, I think. Don't quote me on that.
I think that there's been a...
great hero.
There have been... not a documentary just about him, but I've seen stuff... like BBC have covered Southampton.
Right.
And that was sort of the implication, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Because that's an age where football players would go to the boozer and people would buy you a drink.
Yes.
Now, obviously, they're untouchable.
That's right, he never had to buy a drink again in his life, basically. So, fantastic occasion.
It's a story about Jack Charlton and... again, don't want to get sued, so I'll say allegedly, Jack Charlton would let... I need to be careful here, because I'm from Leeds, and he's an icon of the city of Leeds,
right. So,
and I think he's a wonderful man. And I've interviewed Jack Charlton, and he was it's one of the best interviews I've ever done. He's just a great, candid guy. So, allegedly, when he goes out, he will happily let people buy him a drink, because it's my understanding that he, let's say, isn't keen on spending money. Is that a diplomatic way of putting that? And on the rare, especially in Ireland, on the rare occasion that he does buy a drink, he allegedly uses a cheque, and because he's signed it, he knows that the landlord will never cash that cheque.
Brilliant.
And so, again, allegedly, there are pubs all over Ireland with framed... this is great. With framed cheques signed by Jack Charlton, with him safe and secure in the knowledge that that cheque will never get cashed because they're safely behind a glass frame. So, now, I got into football mid-80s, and then as I'm getting older, a certain Southampton player emerged,
okay.
and our lives, yeah. Andy, were never the same again. Yeah. And that's obviously Francis Benali.
No, yes.
I'm joking.
No,
it's Matt Letizia. Yeah. So were you there when he was? You know, were you...
yeah, through the glory years, the Matt Letizia glory years. Yeah, I mean, he was fantastic. I kind of got the impression he was a bit too lazy to move on to another club, but so happy that he stuck with us throughout, and absolutely brought tears to my eyes, him scoring the last goal at the Dale. We beat Arsenal 3-2 on the last day. He scored a goal in the last couple of minutes.
So beautiful.
I wasn't at the game, unfortunately. I was sitting in the car with my son, and I was just in tears.
I'm not surprised.
That's
a nice moment, that, isn't
it?
No,
that's right. Yeah, yeah. That's right.
So I feel very passionately. Again, I've interviewed Matt Letizia when I was at the London paper, and he's great. He's exactly...
Yeah, yeah.
He's very funny. He's very intelligent. You know... sad, isn't it, when those qualities are like a big deal for a footballer, because there are so few who are funny.
Absolutely,
out,
yeah.
But you know, he was lovely, and I feel passionately about Letizia because I think he's living proof that I'll explain myself here. I think a lot of footballers are obsessed with winning trophies, so it's all about got to win trophies. Whereas I would say Letizia, what he achieved and what he means to people, not just Southampton fans but to football fans, is worth more than any trophy.
No.
Now, I'll explain. Yeah. Hundreds of people have won the league. Maybe it's probably more than 1,000, isn't it, down the years?
Must be.
Same with cups and, you know. So hundreds and thousands of people have won trophies. But Letizia says himself that when he goes to other grounds outside of Southampton, I'm almost getting emotional.
Yeah.
Strangers who support other clubs will come up to him and want to shake his hand
and they want
to thank him for the memories.
He's a hero around the world for that reason, for sticking with one club. It's
that means something.
No, it does.
Man.
It does.
No, you know what I mean? It does.
I don't know if there's any in current day football. There must be plenty that's still
Terry.
Around. Yeah.
But John Terry. But I mean, with all, again, I would actually, I think, oh God, dare I say this? Terry,
yeah, people have a different view of him, perhaps.
Exactly. But what I would say as a footballer, the guy's a warrior, you know.
Yeah, I agree. Actually.
And so if we're talking about purely a sporting term, I think we maybe might have to. As a footballer, the guy's a warrior. But with all due respect to John Terry, because of the stuff he's done off the pitch, when he goes away to Newcastle or whatever, he's not going to get a Geordie coming up to him going,
no.
Thanks for the memories, John.
No.
You know, he's absolutely...
That's a good point, yeah.
You know, so what were your favourite memories of Letiz?
It is. I mean, he scored so many classic goals. It was just, I remember getting, there was a video back in the day released of the goals of Letizia, and it was just unbelievable. The goals he was scoring from long distance, chipping and long way out. And he was a fantastic player.
I would say if you're listening and you're absolutely not a football fan, I would definitely recommend you go on YouTube. Because I think even a neutral and a non-sports person would get a great deal of enjoyment just from watching.
Well, he was scoring close on 30 goals a season, and you know, as a midfielder, and it was just ridiculous.
I heard, I need to be careful again here. So I used to cover Crystal Palace, and Ian Dowie is one of the most amazing men I've ever met. And a lot of the stuff he
I love him too. He was a good science.
Well, so a lot of stuff he told me has stayed with me for like really good like life advice and stuff. And then one of his first appointments was his goalkeeping coach, Mike, I can't remember his name, but he was at Southampton. And Ian Dowie very proudly told this story that him and Matt Letizia would stay behind after training with this goalkeeping coach. and they'd work with Tim Flowers. And Dowie was so proud that he had done this because it showed that he cared and he had commitment and he had passion, because Dowie was all about wringing that last drop. You know, he wasn't the most talented player, but what he had, he made everything out of it, you know. And he loved telling me this story that him and this goalkeeping coach had always stayed behind it. And then I interviewed the goalkeeping coach, and he didn't confide in me, because I think he might. I mean, I didn't run it because I didn't want to break Ian's heart. But he basically said that, he said, yeah, it was a bit of a nightmare because me, Letitia and Tim Flowers wanted to stay behind after training, and they didn't have the heart to tell Ian that maybe he could have gone home because he didn't quite have the shooting finesse of Letitia. So poor Ian was, you know, I mean, I imagine perhaps, you know, not quite hitting it in the top corner in the same way that, but God bless him for doing that, you know. What was your favourite era of Southampton then?
It's all changed. I mean, I actually loved the period when we were League One. You know, it went out, more or less went out of business.
When was that?
2005. We got relegated from the Premier League, and we had a season in the Championship.
You know what? Nigel Atkins, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Well, he started the run. Back basically, you know, we've improved every year
You went down to League One.
We went down to League One. We lost points because we went out, you know, went bankrupt down, and it was. But I still enjoyed going. You know, I was there through thick and thin. You know, there's quite a few people that still attended, and I actually loved those years coming back up. You know, we had a couple of seasons. You know, we missed out on the playoffs. You know, one year, the first season back, we missed the playoffs, and that was heartbreaking. But it's a real emotional roller coaster being a Southampton supporter, basically.
I think there's more fun in. So I'll say this as a Palace fan. There is more fun in being in that. Oh, I need to be careful here because I know not everyone agrees with me, but there's more fun in watching your team win rather than praying that they don't lose.
Yes.
And the thing with the Premier League is, if you're not one of the big boys, you just sort of. Yeah. I think you guys are safe now, but you're sort of like praying that you don't get relegated. And where's the fun?
Well, having said that, I loved. All the years we were sort of borderline relegation for many
guys
seasons.
Like Houdini every year, weren't you?
Exactly, that's right. And it was as good as winning the league, basically, to survive, to finish
on the last day of the bottom. Season.
I mean, one of my favourite games ever was actually at Sellers Park when Wimbledon were playing there. It was the Great Escape, and we beat them 2-0, and we survived. And that again was one of my happiest memories. Yeah, well, I mean, we had to win to stay up, basically, and you know, we beat Wimbledon 2-0. And the crowd were just fantastic. We had a whole sort of half of one of the stands on the side at Palace. And, you know, I was there with my son, and we, you know,
tears
again,
in the eyes.
It was like that, exactly right. We're doing the Great Escape singing bit.
Were the Wimbledon fans nice?
Yeah, they were fine, yeah.
I mean, when a club stays up and the other fans basically join.
Yeah, I can't remember because I was a bit tight, bit all in the moment with the Southampton fans.
Of course.
They might have been booing, I have no idea.
So I, you strike me as quite a stoic, stiff upper lip. I can see you're a total father figure. Mm-hmm. But a couple of stories you told here about shedding a tear.
Yeah.
Are you secretly more emotional than we might realise?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I will cry if I go to the cinema. I'm guaranteed to cry, even if it's a serious film. Yeah. I'm the only one crying. It's so embarrassing. I'm trying to wipe my eyes dry, and everybody else is walking out normally. I thought, shit, I'm the only one crying here.
We might need to edit this bit out because Andy Tulip. I've got to be careful.
Well, thank
you for interrupting.
When
me.
I first,
you were right. Yeah, you were right.
I jumped in quickly. When I first moved up to London, I had a long-term girlfriend. We used to come to comedy. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
And then we split up a couple of years ago. So I had a sort of a year or so, and I thought comedy club. But that would be a good first date location because you know you come along. It's all quiet. You have a chance to have a chat, and then. You have a laugh, and
of course.
I figure women like to laugh, so it's good to get somebody else to do the hard work.
Very cunning.
Yeah, that's right. That's it. I actually went to, I actually tried that. I went to a Jack D warm up for a show he was doing.
Oh, yeah.
And you had to put questions to him. And my first date then stood me up that night. And so I put in, Jack, you know, I understand that women like to laugh, so I've But unfortunately, my date has stood me up for this comedy show tonight. So is that my fault or your fault?
Nice.
Yeah. So he cut across the last question and asked, so where's Andy? I thought, oh, shit. All right, okay. So I was sitting at the front as usual. And Josh Whittaker was on the panel with him. So Josh laid into me because I was sitting next to my rucksack.
Oh, man.
But then Jack came in and basically, again, ripped me to shreds and said, but be careful, everybody. Andy does this all the time. every time he comes, he always gets a shag. Meet him in the bar afterwards.
Very nice.
So that was quite funny. That was quite funny.
So you're in a relationship at the moment?
Yes, I am. Yeah.
Is she here tonight?
No. She's a Southampton girl. So I have this sort of in London all week, and then I head back to Southampton at weekends. So.
Is she yet to make an appearance here?
Sorry?
Is she yet to make an appearance?
Yeah, she hasn't been here. No, I've had a couple in the past.
This is my way of asking her if she's listening.
Yeah,
come on up to Always Be Calm.
Yeah. Well, I'll try. Yes, that's...
We've had two Always Be Comedy marriages, you know.
Really?
Yeah, we've had two people who met at this night and have got married. One of whom is Paul and Gemma.
Oh, okay.
They met
here.
Yeah. And then another couple got married and they've got kids now. It's too late now, you're in a relationship.
That's right, yeah. That's right, yeah.
Andy, thank you so much.
No,
please,
it's a
keep
pleasure.
Coming every single
yeah,
week.
Yeah, well, you guys keep doing it. That's
that's the
important thing.
Mate, thank you so much. God bless you.
Cheers, James.
Thanks,
mate.
Man. All right. Thank you so much for listening. Please visit alwaysbecomedy.com for more information and for our live shows. We have gigs at the Tommy Field in Kennington weekly every Thursday, as well as a new material night in Balham at the Exhibit, and that is monthly on a Sunday. Thank you so much. Take care.